With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I feel like you need to, you should probably use stools, right? Because it's a round table, you want a round chair too.
Yeah, it would just clash. Yeah. Or just like, or just ottomans, right? Just like
a you nice could use those cushion. Like maybe every knight had one of those like rotating circular beds from the 70s, you know?
Oh yeah.
As I would spin. Yeah.
Yeah. Boys here, defending Britannia from the Saxons now that the Romans have buggered off. I am your Lady of the Lake, Peter O'Donoghue, and I was prophesied to return with...
"'Tis I, the noble knight Ethan. I've brought my trusty rapier with me."
And James Miller the Frog, ribbit.
That's my kind of Lady of the Lake.
Yeah, it's just a female frog. the fluoride hasn't gotten to and made her gay yet.
Peter, it's female French woman. Come on.
Oh! Oh, man. Downloads plummet in France. Oh, fuck me.
Man. Oh, yeah, yeah. We had a big listenership there.
Yeah. In Paris.
Yeah.
So, today's episode, I think, is an organic request, but it may have also been like the Monster Hunter Black Dragons episode where I, like, incepted it into people's minds just to get them to do something, to, like, ask for something I wanted to do already.
Sure, sure.
All the while, like, while I, like, gazed out at my empire of Discord. If you want to, the best way to do requests and have them summarily completely ignored for months and months and months is to loreboys.com/about and jump in that Discord, so... Yeah. That being said, I had appeared apparently in the dreams of Han Dolo and Ocrest, who's a patron of ours over on Discord, and today's episode, as you can see, is about King Arthur. And I would also like to welcome and say hello and thank you to our newest patron, Race Rizel. So, hello and thanks.
Hey, Race.
Lads.
I'm surprised that you weren't the first patron here, Race. I'm not gonna lie, you know?
Yeah.
you finished like 28th overall or something? I don't know.
it's at least he's trying, right? Just, yeah. Come on, get in there. Yeah. So I guess I'll start with you, Jamie, for no real reason other than that you're at the bottom of my camera stack in Discord right now. Mm-hmm. What's your familiarity with King Arthur?
I have like a childhood memory of an animated movie, I want to say, where there's like a Merlin who turns another wizard into a frog. There's a guy who pulls a sword from a stone. There's Knights of the Round Table.
Camelot, the Disney movie, maybe. I can pull it up. Yeah.
Is that
Camelot would be Prince King Arthur? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So there is a Disney film called The Sword and the Stone.
That's what it is.
I think I had that VHS in my like. My CRT TV that had the VHS built in with like the 12-inch screen.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I used to watch that in my room.
I used to love that movie.
Yeah.
Ethan?
Never seen Sword in the Stone. I'm familiar with the myth and a bit about the real guy. Fought the Saxons in Britain for the Romans as a native Briton, I believe, at the wall, which divided the... island, I guess.
That's that wall that they built. That's Hadrian's Wall, which Hadrian's like divides Scotland and England or something like that, right?
Something like that, yeah. Like it's like the north and the south. He had it's like the Round Table, which is probably a myth. His knights, which were probably true. There's Lancelot the Brave, Gallagher the Pure, and
Galahad,
yeah.
Gallagher is a sponsor of a McDonald's burger, okay?
No, yeah. There's Gallagher the watermelon smasher. His weapon, mallet.
Bryson the Gnarly. Yeah.
There's
what else we got?
there's a couple like, there's inconsistencies, I guess, that are in my head, and I don't know if exist in the Arthur canon, where, like, there's obviously the Lady in the Lake who apparently bestows upon him Excalibur, but then, like Jamie says, there's also, like, the Sword in the Stone myth, which he whoever draws the sword from the stone shall be crowned King of England. I don't know if those are, like, those happen at different times, or, like, the Lady of the Lake gives it to him, and then he loses it in a stone and pulls it back out or something. Hmm. Jamie also says, mentions Merlin, who's included in the myths. I remember the, was it Clive Owen in, like, the 2004 live action film King Arthur was probably, like, my first exposure to it, because I never saw the animated one, but I know a bit about it, I guess.
Yeah. It's good. It's if anybody had listened to this and thought, like, all this was, like, totally fake, a lot of the stuff you mentioned definitely just now, Ethan, is just like, no, Pete sent his scripts in advance, clearly. Because I will elucidate basically every single thing you just talked about, because this is very much like the early Arthurian legend. I used, actually, for one of the first times, I used a website that wasn't just Wiki blank. Okay. I actually went on Encyclopedia Britannica for the historicity or historicity, whatever the, like, validity of the stories are. Wow. For the Arthurian story. So
I think it would just be historical authenticity.
So it, the lore, there was they used a specific term, which was, like, historicity or historicity.
Are you thinking of hysterectomy?
Yeah, so we're going to talk about when King Arthur had his uterus removed, exactly.
Historicity. Historical authenticity.
There you go. Yeah. I think it might just be like a portmanteau. Find me the etymology of the historicity of the historicity, please, if you could.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Pull that clip up. So I only had, like, kind of passing knowledge about King Arthur, but I have seen The Sword in the Stone. It was one of my favorite, like, Disney VHSs that I had growing up. I also watched a CBC show called Dragon Booster, if anybody ever saw that.
that sounds like a cartoon where they're trying to sell trading cards or Beyblades or something with it, you know?
Yo, actually, I have an aside about Dragon Booster in here, because I used to love that show, and, yeah, like, Dara has the intro completely memorized, and she sent me audio clips or via, like, iMessage that I tried to pull and, like, give to you guys so we could cut it into the episode, of her just, like, saying the entire intro, which, like, describes the lore of the show, but I couldn't figure out how to do it properly, because I am a big dumb idiot.
That's true. I've always said
It's part of our brand. Loreboys Industries is a copyright of Pete Big Dumb Idiot LTD.
Yeah.
our
historicity isn't great or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
No, exactly.
You guys ever think about the fact that portmanteau is just a portmanteau of door coat?
Yep, all the time.
Why would you want a door coat?
Well, why would door coat mean two words smushed together? Like, why would that be the word that means words that are smushed together? Was it just the first one that they ever did? And we're like, yeah, we'll call every other word that does this.
But what
that.
Would a door coat even be? Is that like your house coat? Like, whenever you close the door to your home, then you put on your house coat? Or, like, why would a door need a coat?
Well, like, a house coat would be, like, it, by that logic of just, like, putting the two French words together, like, it would be maison manteau.
I know, but we're working backwards. We're working backwards from portmanteau. So, what would it be then, Mr. Bright Ideas?
Yeah, come on, Pete. Mr. Disparaging, like, Jamie's ideas.
Portmanteau, do they mean, like a seaport or something like that?
Well, it's spelled with an E, so I don't think so.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's portmanteau.
Portamento, I see.
It's when you take a door off the hinges, it gets quite cold, so you put on a little jacket for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What would your theory be if it was like a ship port coat?
For me, it's at least closer than a door, but I wanted to say that, like, portamento sounds like a cheese as well.
It does, yeah, or like an Italian meat. Like,
that's a good guess for France, too.
Yeah, exactly. Another really quick thing about King Arthur here is when I had a drama teacher in high school who sadly had a miscarriage, so she took the school year off. And the theater nerds and I all still wanted to do a play. So this guy who was in the grade above me named Evan Harkai, shout out to him because he's like working or was working in showbiz in Toronto afterwards. Just transcribed the entire script of Monty Python's Holy Grail, and we just did a completely illegal, unlicensed stage adaptation of the film.
Nice.
I was Sir Bedivere, so I used a old maple syrup bucket and used a hacksaw to cut out a little square so that I always had the visor that I could hold up the entire time, which was like his visual gag in the in the film. Yeah, so a quick aside about Dragon Booster as well, because I know you mentioned it sounds like something that would want to sell merch. It was very much like Canada's version of Beyblade or Bakugan, because it was like kind of like a sci-fi future where teenagers would race dragons against each other. But it wasn't particularly successful, which is why we have like Pokemon Brilliant Diamond instead of anything related to Dragon Booster at all. It's just, it wasn't super popular. It had like three seasons and was like canceled unceremoniously.
Sounds cool. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. It was like CBC cartoon in the morning, basically.
Okay, you got it on your antenna TV, and you could just see dragons scrolling up past over and over again through the static.
Yeah.
Got it.
So, King Arthur Pendragon is probably not a real person. Most historians at time of writing agree that he's probably an amalgamation of multiple men. He is
a lot of great people from history, right? They're just like, oh, we know somebody did this. We know this guy was alive at the time. So let's just accredit it to him. Like Shakespeare, right? Yeah. Like they don't know that Shakespeare wrote every play that's accredited to Shakespeare.
In a thousand years, they'll think that there was only one lore boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, called King Arthur. It's just like, King Arthur was a podcaster. He talked about Magic the Gathering, idiot. Come on. Like, clearly real.
Arthur Peen Dragon.
Arthur Peen Jamie would be the complete assembly.
Until some historian like is mining through a rock and finds like an old iPod or something, and then was able to like listen to us and find out it's three. And
yeah, it's an iPod shuffle. It's like still works. Wow.
Yeah.
It's like the Baghdad battery. He like hooks it up to like a like copper and lemon juice and gets the men of the past were very were very crafty.
Yeah,
very industrious.
Yeah.
So Arthur had apparently been mentioned in various accounts and stories for at least a couple of centuries, but his first like confirmed drop was in 829 AD, where he is said to be a military leader of some description who participated in the Battle of Badon, and also called the Battle of Mons Badanicus in Old Italian and probably like Warhammer 40K.
Mons Badanicus.
Mons like Badanicus.
Is that on the vagina?
Yeah.
Where on the vagina is the Badanicus?
Because it's a Mons pubis, right?
Isn't there?
I think Mons just means like hill.
It's mount, right? I think, yeah.
Or mount, yeah.
The pelvic Mons pubis, mount. I think, is part of your pelvic bone. Or maybe women just have it. I have no fucking idea.
Pelvic mount sounds like
I'm not a skeleton.
It's the front
doctor.
Of your pelvis, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not a skeleton doctor, guys.
Mons
I looked up what Mons means, and the definition is short for Mons pubis.
God damn it.
Yeah, I love who's the casual person who's talking about, check out my Mons, you know? Like,
yeah. my favorite part of the woman's body, is the Mons. The front of the skeleton. So the Battle of Badon was originally made famous for stopping the Saxons from getting further into Britain, but it's actually more famous now for the involvement of King Arthur, which kind of is like if Forrest Gump made Vietnam more famous, because it's like a very clearly fictional person was like allegedly at this fight, and that's the thing that boosts the signal of this war, which like really is like a war of some consequence where it stopped the Saxons from further getting into Britain.
Yeah
Who were the Saxons?
I
have no idea.
Norse, no, like weren't they Vikings? Who were the? Like, I'm pretty sure it's like the Vikings.
Anglo-Saxons.
Who were the Saxons? Like short for Mons Pubis. You're like, God damn it! Fucking internet's useless.
Yeah.
Sax Pubis.
Yeah, it looks like Saxons are actually Germans.
Oh, okay.
So, like Germans, like near the border of Denmark, basically. But yeah.
So, like, what Anglo-Saxon is just like English and German roots.
Yeah.
So the Angles come from north of Saxony, like close to Denmark, and it was like the migration which created like the modern day English, essentially.
Wow.
And then meeting with like the Romans in Britain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All
those historical events led up to these soccer hooligans eating fish and chips and drinking beer and saying in it, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In it, mate.
Eight to Romans, eight to Saxons, simple as. So people who are about as qualified as we are speculate that the ingredients to make a King Arthur, or at least the Arthurian legends, are a pinch of Artuir Mac Aidan, 2 teaspoons of Riothamus, Ambrosius Aurelianus zest, and then Lucius Artorius to taste. Who are the
But
three...
oh no, then he smashed a vial of Chemical X.
Yeah, yeah. And the Powerpuff Kings were born, exactly.
He mixed up the ingredients and King Arthur's stuck in the stone. Fuck.
The Powerpuff Kings will be a great name if we ever decide to do a Powerpuff rewatch podcast. Like solo feat, right?
Yeah.
Call ourselves the Powerpuff Kings.
We were talking about
Patreon exclusive.
Yeah, we're talking about some pretty
the Powerpuff Kings.
That sounds good, man.
So if you put all those guys that I just mentioned on the stove for about 600 years, and then your name is Geoffrey of Monmouth, then you've got yourself a King Arthur.
What was the Ambrosia name? Because that name sounded very beautiful.
Ambrosius Aurelianus.
Oh, I like that. That guy sounds really smooth. He's like the Dionysus of the group. I've been playing a lot of Hades. I bet you he gets drunk and he fucks.
You think Ambrosius gets pussy? He fucks.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Gets a little bit of Mons. Gets a little bit of Mons Saxony or whatever the fuck the part of the skeleton is.
I mean, Ambrosia in like modern day English means like it's like fasting, right? Like,
does it?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Now I'm like wondering like. What was ambrosia in ancient Greek?
I've just sent Ethan on like a 15-minute Google quest at this point. Yeah.
Is it ambrosia
like every single ones. Sentence?
Isn't it like a nectar of the gods or something?
Yeah, so ambrosia and nectar was the food and drink of the gods. And in modern day English, according to the Collins Dictionary, it's the ambrosia is the practice of refraining from eating. Mm. So I wonder if that's because like gods don't need to eat, they do it for pleasure.
In right. Hades, it's like you have to give like the wine bottles or the nectar to get your first level friendship, and then like your uber friendship, you have to give the ambrosia over. That's like the the sick food. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, it's food of the gods in ancient Greece. It's not eating in modern day. I guess we're not gods, right?
Not yet.
Depends on the ask, right?
Yeah.
So Geoffrey of Monmouth was a Welsh cleric born at some point in the early 12th century, kind of in and around Monmouth, which is in eastern Wales. Of course, with like kind of the quality and the amount of people who knew how to write in, 11th or 12th century Wales, it's really unclear. But he referred to himself as Geoffrey of Monmouth. So that's like people tend to associate him with either being, liking the area or just being from there.
Yeah.
Okay. He's best. Yeah.
Sorry. He's everyone's from Mon something because you're born from your mother, right?
Of course. Yeah. Everybody comes passes the Mons pubis at some point.
Yeah.
You can just call it the Mons. We're all friends here. Just call it the Mons.
We're all friends here. Just call it Mons. Yeah. No, you'd be so formal, Pete. Come on.
Whoa, doctor. Who invited this nerd?
Do you think that's what all those Jamaican people are talking about? Your Mons pubis? Hey, Mons.
It's like saying oi cunt, like
So Geoffrey is best known for writing the History of the Kings of Britain, which is where Arthur is first said to have been king of the Britons in the distant past. So like official writing, official, right, in quotes, writing about King Arthur only came up like 600 years after he allegedly lived.
Like, history so often is just collaborative fan fiction. Like, it's just a bunch of historians getting together and being like, let's make the funnest story for everybody to teach in their classes. And then, like, some of it, like, especially, like, archaeological-driven history and things like that, like, they can find pottery shards and they can find the Baghdad Battery and they can speculate on it. But, like, when you're talking about, like, people and what they did and even, like, usually what they wore or, like, what they ate, it's just, like, impossible to know.
We talked about this off air, but like how the humans got to like the western part of the world, and like there was a theory that they came over in the south, and And we were talking about how like the white man would want to destroy that because it wouldn't mean the white man got here first and stuff like that. Yeah. And,
I think we said it's believable because we know that if it were true, and we hadn't heard of it, but if it were true, the white man at some point would have tried to suppress it. So that just makes it feel more true that we haven't heard of it.
Also, the history of the kings of Britain is also the first mention of King Lear, which is interesting that you mentioned Shakespeare earlier. So he is also fake and was made up by Geoffrey of Monmouth.
Is that the blind guy? Now I'm blind. No. I can see. No.
That's Oedipus, I think, is where he
Oedipus
his mom,
is one.
Pokes his eyes out.
Oedipus pokes both his eyes out. I think King Lear does go blind at some point.
Does he? I've not read it. So
that was one of the ones I read in high school. I remember a guy going blind and now he can see, and that's the big irony. Like, I'm 15 and this is deep. Well, actually was 15 and it was deep.
Yeah, he's blind, but he's like he is blind, like literally as a metaphor, basically, where he doesn't want to see the truth, so Shakespeare has him like literally go blind from it.
Okay,
and then he
okay.
can see, and like someone brings him through the desert or something, but Lear's the one who actually can see and not the guy who's guiding him, and there's a bunch of ironies and stuff. It's fun.
Yeah. Classic Shakespeare and his dramatic ironies, am I
and
right?
Speaking of which, Shakespeare probably not one guy, huh? Is that what we said earlier?
Yeah. He's Geoffrey of Monmouth, or as the conspiracy goes, that he was completely invented by Sir Francis Bacon.
Right.
Yeah.
So on the subject of another author here, Geoffrey's writings were a central part of another piece of famous medieval literature called The Matter of Britain, which was a collection of writing that had kind of attempted to create a legendary history of Britain. There are actually three matters, which are three states of matter, which are the matter of France, the matter of Rome, and matter of Britain.
Okay. And plasma.
Gaseous Britain. Yeah, gaseous Britain.
Liquid France.
liquid Britain, solid Britain, plasma Britain, and Bose-Einstein condensate Britain, I guess, would be the fifth one.
Exactly. So these are the three big medieval literatures. Matter of France actually talks about Charlemagne a lot, who is real. Opposed to like Romulus and Remus for Matter of Rome, or King Arthur, in this case, King Arthur and King Lear, who are very clearly made up by a Welsh cleric, basically.
Okay.
At least in some, it depends on who you ask, of course. If you ask a Welsh cleric, he might tell you King Arthur, hundo P, real. Although the kind of validity of King Arthur being a real person was considered to be kind of less and less trustworthy, even by the 16th century, because claims started to roll in that he had single-handedly killed 900 men or over 900 men at the Battle of Badon. And which there was pretty much like, yeah, exactly. Which is like, even like dumb, like dark age scholars were just like, I don't think that's true. Because like,
if he had God on his side, I don't think so. You know?
Yeah. Like if you think about it, like, I don't know, like what the size of a Saxon army would be at this point in the 600s. But let's say if they brought something insane, like 10,000 men, King Arthur would have had to have killed 9% of them himself. And a 10,000 man army is a lot of people.
It's huge.
But maybe they used to do war. Like, you know how like they used to line up with their like single shot muskets and everybody gets one shot. And then whoever falls down, you step into their place.
Not in the 640s. Like Europe had not made like Chinese contact to get gunpowder.
I think Jamie's saying, what if they did it with swords?
Yeah. What if it was a series of duels. And this guy,
again,
it was good.
Like the Green Knight, right? That was his thing, was he dueled like 100 men for his fair maiden's hand or something.
Mm-hmm. I've only seen the movie, which is very weird but very cool, that came out recently.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Not familiar with the movie. I think that's like the Legend of the Green Knight. But I mean, 10,000 is a huge army, and historical battles, like, they never ended with one side getting wiped out. Like, usually you'd lose 10% of your forces and people would be like, all right, fuck this, let's go.
That's enough peasants.
Yeah. So we're talking like, even for him to have killed that many people, like, you need like 100,000 person army before they're just like, one guy has killed how many of us? We gotta go, guys.
I think he did it, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. No. All right. Well, yeah, I mean, again, it's totally harmless to believe in King Arthur, unless, just don't go any deeper down the rabbit hole, Jamie. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's it. This is Jamie's king and on conspiracy.
I'm dragon pilled. What can I say?
So regardless of your pillable status here, King Arthur has remained as one of the most famous legendary figures in like culturally in our part of the world, or at least in our part of the world's culture, I guess, which is Western TM basically.
Yeah.
He was even included in something called the Nine Worthies, which was a 13th century carving, which is currently in Cologne, Germany, which is like a very early analog to like a coexist sticker of the time, because the Nine Worthies, it features three pagans, three Jews, and three Christians, all as like the greatest heroes of their particular canons. Again, King Arthur is there for the Christians, along with Charlemagne, who is real again. So it's like, it is basically if you got your like Nine Worthies right now, you'd have like some real guy and fucking Shadow the Hedgehog and just be like, oh, man, like, the greatest heroes of history right now. Like,
actual
like
war
an actual
hero.
Doctor.
Yeah. Actual war hero, Duke Nukem and Sonic the Hedgehog. It's like
exactly. We'd have like Tommy Douglas, who is like kind of responsible for getting free healthcare to Canada, and then also, I don't know, the friendly giant from CBC.
Yeah.
Sherlock Holmes and Indiana Jones and all these people who are real, by the way. But
yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, it's Indiana Jones is again an amalgamation of Ambrosius Aurelianus and some real nerd who worked in the university.
Yeah. Name an actual archaeologist. Can you?
You can't even name the profession. That's how unmoral. Yeah.
I almost said architect, and I was like, no, not architect.
It's our archaeohistoricity, okay?
Yeah. That's whenever they fix the arch in your foot. Yeah.
Oh. So this is funny because I had mentioned like Shadow the Hedgehog just now. My favorite adaptation of the King Arthur legend is actually Sonic and the Black Knight. I completely freaking forgot about this because I wrote this like 10 days ago. The Arthurian adaptation Sonic and the Black Knight on Wii reveals that Sonic the Hedgehog is actually King Arthur.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I tried to type Sonic and the Black Knight to see what the fuck you were talking about, and apparently I wrote Arthur and the Black Knight. And I was like, why does it bring me just to the Wikipedia page for King Arthur? Okay, this Wii game looks pretty sick, though. It features Sonic with a big Zweihander, ready to fucking go to war here.
Yeah.
Ready to kill 900 pagan Saxons.
Man, I don't know. I think it's out of fashion to be a Sonic fan, so I'm just gonna stop consuming all content. I feel like like the weirdest internet folks are the big Sonic fans, but
oh yeah. You know, I wonder what happened. Like, I would love a deep dive one day on like that like you frickin' Fricks kid who would scream about
when will your fantasies ever be quenched?
Yeah.
I wonder if he ever made it to the big leagues of Tosh.0, right?
Oh yeah.
I looked into him like a year ago or something, and he's still like he's posted videos. He's just a grown-up kid now. Look him up, but
does he still have his Sonic backpack on? But like it's like he's never taken it off. He's got like calluses on his shoulders because he's been wearing it for so long.
Yeah, he's right though. In that rant, he's lashing out at the Sonic fandom where there really is problems. So the kid, he knew what was up.
Yeah.
Way ahead of his time. Yeah. Jeffrey Monmouth of the fandom, clearly. So now that we've got all the kind of like real world nerd shit out of the way, we can get to the good part, which are like the myths and lore behind Arthur himself, which is the stuff that we're all very familiar with, even tangentially like Ethan was. Mm-hmm. So Arthur, according to Jeffrey, is the son of King Uther Pendragon and a woman named Lady Igerna.
I love that name, by the way. Uther Pendragon. Igerna?
No, I saw Jamie's light up. Jamie's eyes light up. Excuse me. As soon as you said Uther Pendragon, I was like, "Oh, you like that one?"
Yeah, that one's cool. Uther is in WoW, so you got me.
It's a WoW character.
Yeah,
I wasn't gonna mention it, but
yeah. And then Pendragon is cool because Ethan used to post on those forums way back when. So.
Yeah, the Pendragon unofficial fan forums. But there was a series of books which I didn't read, but they're like young adult fantasy books, basically. Which the forum was actually about. It wasn't about King Arthur, I don't think.
Okay.
I mean, yes. The Pendragon series might have been about King Arthur, but
who knows?
Lady Igerna was allegedly a like French noblewoman, basically. She was married to Uther's rival named Gorlois, the Duke of Cornwall, whom Uther went to war with because he wanted to fuck his wife so bad. So, like, I'm not sure if this is, like, better or worse than a modern war where, like, we send men and women to die for, like, Raytheon and OPEC, but, like, I guess, like, Dick Cheney at least isn't a cuck, so, like, these guys went to war for a woman. It's very much, like, it's like Welsh Helen of Troy, but there's no, I don't know, there's no like Saxon Paris or anything like that. It's just like straight up the king dragged his country into war because he wanted to bang somebody else's wife.
I mean, Arthur would be Achilles, right? Like,
Achilles didn't want to fuck Helen, did he?
No, no, but Arthur, like Uther wants to, so Uther's Agamemnon who wants to go fuck Helen, or it's Agamemnon's brother who got cucked, I think.
Uther has a full suit of armor, but just like the tiniest slats open on his heels, like.
Which is funny. Speaking of the word cuck, that was also coined by Shakespeare in one of his plays, which I can't remember which one, but it's like a guy ends up wearing deer antlers at the end, and they call him the cuckold or something.
A Midsummer Night's Hot Wife is, I believe, the name of that.
I was just going to go Midnight Summer's Cuck, so yours was better.
Much better. Yeah, Titania or Titania was the original hot wife.
Yeah.
Right, anyway. Gorlois and Igerna lived in a place called Tintagel Castle, which is actually a real castle, which is currently owned by the future King of England, which is Meghan Markle, obviously. but it's Prince Charles, I think is the future King of England after Elizabeth.
But he'll probably abdicate, is what they say.
Okay, yeah. After his mother sheds her skin and turns back into the cicada that she probably is on the inside and flies off to Mars.
Assuming she hasn't already.
How do you guys know so much? Like, where? What part of your day are you, like, absorbing who's going to be the next queen of
my America? Wife's into the royals. She's into, like, well, she's not into the royals. She's into the history of the monarchy, essentially. So she knows that stuff. And her family is really into the royals, too. So
a lot of English-speaking Canadians are royalists. Like, I know my buddy Kyle's mom... I mean, her mother is from England. So they're very much into it. So, like, a lot of English-speaking Canadians, especially because she's still technically our monarch. Like, some people are into that, like, either as a curiosity or as, like, a, wow, like, it's so nice that we still have a queen on our 20 and all of our coins sort of thing.
Right. For all our American listeners, we don't, like, bow to the queen or anything. Like, she's very much like a mom who's far away from her kids at this point.
I don't know. I think it is very much like an Islam sort of thing. Like, I pray to her twice a day in the direction of England.
always pointing towards mommy Mecca.
Yeah.
AKA yeah. Queen of England.
Mr. Castle.
You pour a whole kettle of tea onto the ground and then just kneel in it and pray. And,
Yeah. Dip your forehead into the liquid.
Yes. Pour one out for mom. I looked up
Tintagel. It's extremely cool. Basically, like, it's a ruin now, but it's like a castle that was sitting right on top of a cliff at on the end of this like jut out of rock into the sea, essentially. Cool. Looks like super defensible, and it looks like a very cool place to visit these days.
So the kind of the location of it and like how defensible it is part of the actual story, because Uther had asked the wizard Merlin, who Geoffrey had created by combining two other kind of like pagan whatever druids or whatever named Myrddin, oh my god, it's very Welsh, Myrddin Willett and the aforementioned Ambrosius Aurelianus, who is just like some guy that Geoffrey of Monmouth clearly liked because he used chunks of him in two different characters that he made up. And he used it. He asked Merlin to use magic to disguise Uther as Gorlois so that he could return home earlier than expected and sleep with Igerna and leave. So he had to use magic because he had like the location of the castle is so defensible. There's like a quote from the writing that I don't know which title it was under, but there's a quote from the writing where it was just like, you could have an army of 1,000 men and 3 guys with spears would be able to defend Tintagel from them at all times and still win because of like these narrow rocky passages just on a cliff face, basically.
There's basically like one tiny little narrow land bridge, and then you're going uphill towards the castle.
Yeah.
Yeah, but nothing can defend you from looking like exactly like your husband. So fucked up. He's getting a Merlin to turn him into a copy of the husband so he can fuck the wife.
Yeah, it's a very Zeus sort of thing, right? Okay. Where, but like, at least he's not a goose who just like kicks down the door, fucks the wife, and then like flies off into the night. Like, at least he transformed into a different guy. It's still assault.
Maybe Paris looked like a giant wooden horse, though, you know? So maybe this is still just the story of Troy.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But I loved in the Sword in the Stone, I think it's from this, but Merlin fights with another like wizard. And their whole battle is just turning
Madame
each other.
Mim.
Yeah, they just turn each other into different animals. So like, you're a toad, then you're a frog, then now you're a mouse, and now you're a whatever. And like, oh, I'm a tiger now.
Polymorph.
Yeah. All they have is polymorph.
They're doing like the Pokemon like damage type weapon triangle essentially, where it's like turn you into a rock type because I'm a water type. Like, oh, okay, well I'm gonna turn you into a bug type then.
Yeah,
they're just going around in circles like that.
I never would have remembered the name of the witch that he fights, but I watched clips of the movie to like get in the mood when I was writing the script here, and her name is Mad Madam Mim. Because cool. she's just like a swamp hag basically, but yeah, they have a magic fight.
How does it look though? Does like the animation and stuff still hold up to this day? Or
I mean, not on like a modern screen, because the line work is real fucking rough. Like you can see like multiple passes with a pencil. Like visibly, everybody kind of has like a shaky outline because of the. Like, just, I guess, the eraser technology wasn't up to 1080p standards in the 60s or whatever, right? So
I had a Lord of the Rings animated movie, too, actually, now that I think of it.
Oh,
I have that as well, yeah. That's Ralph Bashke did that. That's a lot of rotoscope, though, so that is a lot of live-action actors that have been painted over.
Cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So Merlin, on the subject of him, like, transforming a king into... It's just like, hey, hello, I'm King of the Britons. I'd like to be a rapist and I'd like to get away with it. Do you have a spell for that? He's just like, absolutely.
Sure.
Not a problem. Merlin, in some other writings, is said to have used magic and giant laborers to build Stonehenge. So, like, this fucking megalith has been part of, like, ancient alien conspiracies for 900 years at this point. It's all just being recycled fucking constantly.
Amazing. But,
yeah. So we'll kind of learn more about this. What happens after mommy and daddy get together? And how do you breed a king? And we're going to find out more about that after the break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back, everybody. I'd like to thank the ad, if you heard one, for their CPM. So now we can get back into a little bit more King Arthur.
Clicks per minute.
Yeah. it's the Loreboys podcast is a idle game, actually. And
I thought it was how we get our clicks per minute, actually. No, it isn't?
No.
No, it's...
It's Latin. It's something per milli.
Oh.
It's old Italian. Yeah.
Okay, I play too many games.
It's Krusty Pond Man, I think.
That's a Merlin will turn you into a Krusty Pond Man so he can smash you with his Charizard or whatever.
So much of Geoffrey's writing, Geoffrey of Monmouth, of course, was pretty straightforward. Like this is when he introduced Arthur in the Kings of Britain. A lot of his fiction basically was like really basic, not too crazy. Arthur was born and becomes King of England at 15 when his father dies of poisoning at the hands of the Saxons. And after adding Ireland and Norway to his like pile of countries, Arthur establishes the Arthurian Empire. And like when this is all happening is really unclear, but like the Battle of Badon took place somewhere around 516 and 518 AD. So this is kind of like the historical period that Geoffrey posits like the Arthurian Empire being set up.
Okay.
After this, after the Battle of Badon, there was 12 years of peace where Merlin created the famous Round Table and suggested that Arthur create a council of valiant knights to watch over the kingdom. Famous ones include, we had mentioned, Gawain, Lancelot, Bedivere, and Mordred are some of the famous, the most famous kind of like chair holders of the Round Table.
Do they use stools or square chairs? I feel like you need to... You should probably use stools, right? Because it's a round table. You want a round chair too.
Yeah, it would just clash, yeah. or just ottomans, right? Just like
you could use those. Like maybe every knight had one of those like rotating circular beds from the 70s. You know?
Oh yeah.
As it would spin. Yeah.
King Arthur gets one shaped like a heart, though.
Yeah, they're just like laying on their side, propped up on their elbow, like spinning in circles, like
full armor,
discussing the empire. Yeah, full plate armor for sure.
You've got like a long thought. You have to like stop talking when you're not facing away, and then come back and continue your sentence as you come around again.
You can only deliberating at Camelot took ages.
Yeah, because you can only speak between 6 and 12 or whatever the rotation is. Yeah.
3 and 9 maybe. Yeah.
3 and 9 Yeah. Depends where you're sitting on the table.
As long as the numbers are across from each other, it doesn't really matter, right?
Yeah. It's true.
So 12 years was far too much peace for Arthur, and he decided to further expand his empire, coming into conflict and defeating the Roman Emperor Lucius Tiberius in Gaul, which is now kind of the France-Belgium area of Europe. In previous decades, Arthur had fought off like many monsters from British folklore, like giants, cat people, and people with dog heads for some reason, which are just straight up called dog heads. And I like the old kind of medieval art that is almost incomprehensible. It's like even adults look like they look like drew like children, which is just like some like mud farming peasant that just has a dog's head, basically.
They probably drew like children because they don't live much past being a child back then.
Yeah, exactly. The Roman emperor that I mentioned before, Lucius Tiberius, is completely made up. Not a real person whatsoever. Not even a fusion, just fake from just you know, cradle
to
grave.
Made up for Arthur to kill.
Yeah, cradle to grave, not real. Nothing was true about Lucius Tiberius.
Popped into existence to see an opportunity and go for it just to be fucking struck down by Arthur.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. So before marching on Rome itself, after defeating Tiberius in Gaul, Arthur caught wind that his nephew Mordred had married his wife, Guinevere, and taken control of Britain. So he turns that army right the hell around, and like as if the kids were misbehaving in the back, and marches it back to England.
I mean, from what you just said, the kids were misbehaving in the back, right?
So his nephew was, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Arthur,
a lot of cuckolding in this in this one, in the Arthurian legend.
King Arthur, the fucking cuck story. Hell yeah, dude.
A tale of two cucks.
Just all adapted from this. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm just like was listening to the Always Sunny podcast, and Charlie had this really good bit about like Christianity when they first started. It's like, and you'll be like all together, like brothers, and you'll take care of each other, and like everyone's like, yeah, and it's like, oh, we're going to go to heaven, and that's awesome. And everyone's like, yeah, and it's like, and no one's allowed to have sex anymore, and everyone's like, wait, what? Like, how did they sell that point?
Can you not fuck on a romantic cloud in heaven?
I think while you're alive, you can only have sex for the purpose of having the children.
Well, that makes sense, obviously. Yeah. Only to have children or disguised as another man, have children with his wife.
When you live to 30, like everybody's probably fucking and cucking all over the place, dude. Cause like you just, we're here for a good time, not a long time, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of short-lived, Arthur kills his nephew, who is like a younger man. He kills his nephew on the banks of the river, for real, Camblam, in Cornwall, which made me laugh.
Oh, Black Betty.
Cam Lamb.
I mean, it'd be like Black Knighty, right?
Yeah. Whoa, Black Knighty. Cam Lamb.
That's in Cornwall, but Arthur is mortally wounded in the process. He hands his crown to one of his knights, who is cousin Constantine, and is then taken to the island called Avalon, never to be seen again. So he doesn't really die in this old version. He just disappears to the island, Isle of Avalon, and is never seen again. I met a girl once named Avalon at a bar. Like, I guess 13 years ago at this point, I was like 18, sure. 19, but I always like remembered her because that name was so unique. And this isn't like somebody I ever like dated or anything. It's just like, oh, what a cool name. You're just going to live rent free in my head forever now, apparently.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah. Still coming up.
Yeah, I know an internet Avalon. I met an Aphrodite the other day.
That's hot.
She was working at a chocolate store. Yeah.
Oh, dude, that's even hotter.
Yeah. Doing Christmas shopping. It's a really interesting name. Yeah.
Man, if she's working at chocolate, like getting fondue and like cinnamon scented candles, that chick is fetish material, dude.
Yeah, so fondue would make sense if it was hotter as a chocolate store, but also like hot fudge, I guess. But
yeah,
otherwise it's just gonna get so melty if it's hotter in a chocolate store.
That's true.
Not very enjoyable.
Yeah, what's the melting point? It's probably just above room temperature, right? Like there's not a lot of
melts in your hand, right?
Of what?
Not in your mouth. Melt in your mouth, not in your hand. No, that's the M&Ms. Dude, they fucked up the green M&M. They took away her boots.
I love that meme right now. Of course, we're recording this in advance, obviously, so this might not be relevant. I love the fact that it's just like, like the headline is like, they made the green M&M into a dumpy slut. And it's just like, oh yeah, they're also being investigated for child slavery.
Yeah,
What?
Yeah.
That's not a meme. Like Mars, Nestle, and some other candy corporation are like allegedly use like child slavery in South America, and they're like, I mean, they're like in court right now for this case, and they're just like, the M&Ms are inclusive. It's just like, oh yeah, it's like quickly post something on Twitter.
Exactly. Create a scandal. Like it's not so meme-y to say, but like you basically can't buy chocolate that wasn't at some point produced by a child slave, and like that applies to like a lot of things. Like it's really hard to find actually like fair trade coffee. Even the ones like labeled fair trade are like, they usually say like, yeah, we got it from this guy who we trust, but all the people that came before him, we don't know, and there's no way to trace it. And
so,
like,
yeah, problem when like one company owns everything. I think Video Babes is going in that direction too. Microsoft buying Activision. Yeah, the Bobby Kotick slaves are going to be making the next World of Warcraft or whatever.
But there's also the problem with Microsoft is from Bill Gates, who, remember his like post arrest for pedophilia friendship with Jeffrey Epstein just ruined his marriage, right? So like it's like, okay, this is all fucked up.
It's
all shit and bad all the time.
And like Nestle could just fix like the Flint, Michigan still having water problems. And for like what to Nestle would be the equivalent of like buying a cup of coffee in the morning could just fix the problem forever.
Yeah.
For them.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's crazy. Everything's
for less than the price of a cup of coffee, you can help one adult American man in Flint, Michigan. It's just like that commercial starts coming up around Christmas
in
time.
In the arms of a guy in like a corn t-shirt just like sitting with a brown cup of water.
Yes, send my UNICEF pennies to Dwayne Smith in Michigan.
It is still fucked up. That's been going on for years though. It's crazy.
Yeah. That was quite the hell of a left turn right there.
Yeah.
But the Arthurian legends got really, really popular kind of after Geoffrey of Monmouth died all over Europe. Obviously just among people who could like read and write, and other versions of like Arthurian fan fiction was created, and people would just keep embellishing and adding shit to the story. Arthur, for a very strange reason at this time, I guess, became really popular in France. But like the French and the English were mortal enemies historically for centuries up until like Europe needed like a proper kind of modern in quotes economy, right?
Yeah, like until World War II, basically. Like they weren't on the same side in World War I, right?
Like, so new elements were added to the Arthurian legends and characters were modified. In Geoffrey's writings, Arthur's home base was in I think it's Caerleon, which is in Wales.
It's
By the end of in North Carolina. He just eats a bunch of imitation crab meat on the beach or whatever. So yeah, it's in Caerleon. But in the 12th century, the French were already talking about even cooler places located somewhere in Britain. And this cooler place was eventually Camelot. So Camelot was made up by the French.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Like those cheeky Frenchmen and all subsequent Arthurian fanfic writers eventually confirmed the location of Arthur's home base. So like somebody had suggested that he lives at Camelot, and then it just kind of like... very much like kind of like an SCP. It's just like enough people were just like, yeah, that's just like true for the story now. So now like you just use Camelot as his home base.
You mentioned it earlier. I had that thought. I was like, okay, in 1,000 years, is there going to be a Bible that just said the SCPs were real? Like,
Yeah. Arthur became collaborative fiction over the centuries, basically, which is pretty neat. Which is like, again, like with a lot of conspiracies or with SCPs, like people love just working together and making shit up.
Yeah,
it's true.
Right.
Making cool shit.
This actually fuels tourism now because there's a bunch of like ruins in England that like some tourism company that owns the land is just like, no, this is the real Camelot.
This is Camelot. Okay. Yeah, for sure.
This one. Let's go.
We can prove it because there's a sword and a stone over there. Okay. So yeah. But didn't Arthur take the sword out of the stone? Shut up. You're banned. Get out of here.
And, like, the stone is, like, perfectly rectangular. Like, they poured the concrete, you know? Yeah.
It's got, like, that rebar ring at the top that you can use to, like, hook a crane into to transport it. It's, it's authentic. It's from the 6th century.
Yeah.
Stamped on the back. You just can't see it.
Made in China. Like, just stamped on the back of it.
Arthur & Co. Masonry Company.
1961. Like, I don't think this is old enough. Camelot becomes the site of the most recognizable parts of Arthurian lore at this point. It's where he and Guinevere are married. It's where him and all of his knights, he and the lads all have like a shared psychosis and vow to track down the Holy Grail. Okay. And where Galahad is honored when he is seated in the Siege Perilous, which is a chair reserved by Merlin for the knight that finds the Holy Grail. A spell had been placed on this chair. This is why it's the Perilous Seat. It would kill anybody who wasn't qualified for it.
Damn.
Yeah.
But he was. He's pure.
Galahad the Pure. He found the Holy Grail, and that's what that chair was for.
Paradise nuts.
Nice.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. All right. Yeah. We'll leave that in. Arthur carried with him throughout the years a lot of magical gear. He had a dagger called Carnwenon. I remember loving this word. A spear named the Rongminiad, which is a lot of fun to say, and a shield at one point named Prydwen. Though most post-Geoffrey adaptations would name Arthur's ship the Prydwen, while his shield was the completely unpronounceable Welsh word. Oh my fucking god, Wyneb Berwickthuker, which I will put in chat if you guys want to.
Wyneb Berwickthuker,
if you want to take a stab at this.
All right.
Oh, gosh.
We'll see.
More W's than I expected.
Yeah, more BGWRTHs than I expected.
Yeah, you don't get that a lot, huh?
Wyneb Gerthuker.
Yeah.
Wyneb Gerthuker.
I'll just call it Winnie the Shield.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Hey, Winnie the Pooh, a public domain figure now. Dates back to Arthurian legend.
Sixth century.
As long as you don't put a red shirt on.
Bear strapped to his arm.
Yeah, like a plush. This is kind of like a lot of the Arthurian stuff is carried obviously into modern stuff, but in Fallout 4, the Brotherhood of Steel's Zeppelin is called the Prydwen. So it's named after Arthur's ship as well.
Oh, cool.
Arguably, the most famous aspect of Arthurian legend would be his sword Excalibur. So this is all those were all his like practice weapons. The Rongominiad and the Wygnabunthuker were all just like, no, that's rookie shit. We got to get to the real stuff now. It was included in Geoffrey of Monmouth's writings. However, at this time, it was called Caliburnus in Old Italian. So Caliburnus eventually became Excalibur. Excaliburnus, yeah.
Expelliarmus. Sorry, it sounded like a wizard thing.
It does, yeah. Later, people had to try to explain how Arthur came by his legendary sword, because I guess a king owning a sword was just not believable. After you read the story enough times, you start asking fucking questions.
Oh, right? And he does the Joker thing, like, you want to know how I got these scars? There's a lady in a lake, or I pulled it out of a stone, or you just...
Enough, baby! so yeah, the first explanation is fairly fanciful, and it's again for some reason was added by the French, like the most legendary English king of all time. Most of the stuff we know about now was added by like French fanboys who just thought this stuff was really cool.
Yep. Well, retcon is a portmanteau for the French people changing English history.
Yeah, retcon exactly. It's like a fiefdom in France.
Retcon. Yes, no, I grew up in retcon, actually. We mostly just rewrote English books.
So this was added, the first kind of Excalibur thing here, which is the sword and the stone, was added by the French poet Robert of Boron, that's where he added the sword and the stone storyline. This was around the year 1200. Again, no real dates. Nobody, you know, there's no SCP wiki where it's like article created in 2006. We just have to be like, article created 1200 AD-ish, right? Robert of Boron.
Give or take 100 years.
Yeah, exactly. The summary of this legend is really, really, really similar to the Disney film. Teenage Arthur, who no one knows is a true king of England or even like the son of Uther Pendragon, is a squire to Sir Kay, who is his like grumpy stepbrother in the Disney film. And he pulls the sword out of an anvil that is on a stone sitting in a church courtyard. So even the original like Robert of Boron version, the sword and the stone is really a sword and an anvil on a stone. So it has been inconsistent now for 800 years.
On a bump and a log and a hole in the bottom of the sea.
Yeah. And Kay, who is his stepbrother in this one, shares a name with one of Arthur's knights from older versions of the story. So the Disney movie... reading ahead there. So, like, they took even older names and just kind of reworked these characters for newer stories. Okay. In the Disney film, it is never specified, I don't believe, that the actual pulling of the sword takes place on Christmas Eve. But in the movie, it's snowy. But again, like, in the poem or in this version here, Christmas Eve, church courtyard, very Christian, obviously, where you're, like, divinely ordained to be king of all England. And obviously it takes place on Christmas Eve, right before, you know, the king of the Christians' birthday.
And the sword looks like a cross.
This is so funny, because, like, Arthur was Arthur a Christian? Like, of those pairs of threes, was he in the Christian category, not the pagan category?
Yeah.
Because, like, native Anglos and the Saxons would have definitely been
pagans,
and like the Romans sure would have been Catholics. And there was no other Christianity. There was just the Catholics at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Well, again, it was three pagans, three Jews, three Christians in the nine worthies.
Yeah, I just don't see a world where Arthur would have been a Christian. Like, he would have been a pagan, right? Like, if he grew up natively on Britain, like...
Listen, don't question the fucking science, okay?
The French retconned it, dude.
The Nine Worthies carving was carved is from the 13th century, I think I said. So it's even after the Excalibur legend was minted, basically.
Okay, yeah.
So the retcon area of France was hard at work for another 100 years when they were just like, oh, he was a Christian. Don't worry. Him and Charlemagne, thick as thieves, they was.
big Catholics. Yeah.
Yeah. During the Sword and the Stone arc, basically, no one believes that the feeble little 15-year-old boy actually pulled the sword. So the sword is reinserted back into the slot in the anvil, and a bunch of other nobles and knights try to pull it. They all fail, obviously. And then the young Arthur then effortlessly withdraws it a second time and ascends to the throne of England. All of this had been also foretold by the crackpot wizard Merlin, who is again included in this version of the story.
So this is retconning the Arthurian legend, which we're saying if he was at the Battle of Badon as an adult around 500 AD,
yeah,
we're saying the throne of England in 450 AD-ish, 470 AD-ish. Who's the first king of England? And like, when was that? It was 1066, right?
1066, I think, is like Alfred the Great unifies like Northumbria and Saxony and all this shit. Like,
okay, yeah. I guess I'm just confused what throne we're talking. Like, what throne was he given at this point?
Yeah,
so, I mean, Alfred the Great is in 866.
Okay.
Apparently. What's 1066? 1066 was when all the dragons got driven out or something? All the Pendragons. that's William the Conqueror. That's William the First. That's when the Normans... took over the throne, I guess. Yeah.
I bet Forrest Gump wasn't even good at ping pong.
King Arthur was terrible at ping pong.
Yeah.
But he did love Dr. Pepper, which was retconned in the 1960s.
How do you guys know when the first King of England and stuff is, man? Like, I have no way to absorb that information in my life, and you guys have an idea of it.
I watched Last Kingdom on Netflix, and Alfred's was central character the first few seasons, and that is in the 9th century. Huh. And then sometimes when I watch like historical fiction, I'll like Google spoilers just to see like where the season's gonna go. So I'm just like, oh, I wonder if this guy is real and what he actually did or and shit like that. So
yeah, I mean, Ariane and I watch a lot of like historical documentaries, like just like, okay. Hey, here's like, you know, what we know about the kings of England.
Anything before the 1900s, like. I couldn't guess within 100 years. Like, yeah,
right. The Renaissance. Give me within 100 years.
1750.
That's probably within 100.
I thought the Renaissance was in like the 1400s because
I think it's like 14th to 17th centuries. So
yeah, okay.
you're close enough. You're like 150 off, maybe. But
we have a Renaissance man right here, smack dab in the middle. Thankfully, Thomas Malory. In the 15th century, he had extra stories where he was talking about Excalibur. This version of Excalibur, which was withdrawn from the anvil on the stone, would be broken in battle against King Pellinore, which is king of Listenoise.
Like a DJ pump up. Like
Pellinore Listenoise.
It's actually a mixture. DJ. It's mayonnaise that helps you clean your teeth.
Ew. Oh,
Listenaise.
No, I got the alcohol free Listenaise because it burns my tongue too much. if the Pellinore of Listenoise was a real person and with a real kingdom, it would be like maybe in the northwest of England somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure. Again, kind of made up. During the fight with Pellinore, Merlin saves Arthur using magic. However, Arthur had admired Pellinore's skills and invites him to eventually join him at the Round Table. A king can't not have a magic sword, and Merlin thankfully knows a couple of women who can help him out. Okay. Merlin leads Arthur to a lake somewhere in England, where he encounters one of allegedly many ladies of the lake, and this one is sometimes called Morgan. Although in like earlier versions of the Arthurian legend, Morgan le Fay is actually his half sister, who is also sometimes a fairy, depending on who you ask.
The Fay, I mean,
exactly, yeah.
Arthur Morgan, Red Dead Redemption lore confirmed.
Oh damn, dude.
That's a good one, actually.
RDR2 is just the tale of King Arthur in a Western, in a spaghetti Western setting.
Yeah, in the 1890s.
He pulls two revolvers from a stone.
From an animal.
Yep.
On top of a stone.
Yes.
Those are some of the names. So like Arthur Morgan sometimes, or Arthur Morgan le Fay, because he's a fairy in Red Dead, right? Because that's a fantasy game.
Of course.
Yeah, right. Of course.
So often she's just simply referred to as the Lady of the Lake, but most fiction like recognizes that there are like a bunch of magical women living in British lakes all over the island that like to make deals. Sometimes they're kind of Faustian deals, sometimes they're just regular like blessings and whatnot with a bunch of people, a bunch of mortals rather. This one, however, grants Arthur a new Excalibur with a magical scabbard. Some tellings have Arthur like tossing his broken sword into the lake only to have it be like caught by the last second by a woman's hand like rising out of the water.
Cool.
She gives Arthur his new sword in exchange for a favor that she would come and get at some point. So this one's not so much Faustian, but she's like, look, I'm going to come back for payment. And there's like a very strange Lady of the Lake scene in, again, the Green Knight film that recently came out that I had mentioned.
Okay.
Right. So the favor that she asks here comes in the form of a request to have Arthur kill Sir Balin, or Balin, B-A, Balin again. He's another DJ, basically, that's competing with her.
Balin,
with Sir Balin is one of the knights in his court who has allegedly killed the brother of this Lady of the Lake. When she arrives to ask for Balin's head, Sir Balin is like, whoa, hey, fuck you, I'm so innocent, I'll cut your head off. How's that for irony? And then does that, so he kills the Lady of the Lake.
Oh, no.
And as punishment for doing...
Arthur's like, well, there goes my debt, baby.
Exactly. He was like, I was going to declare bankruptcy next week, but thanks, dude. Anyway, for taking care of that. But Arthur, of course, is like very noble. He's a hero. He's just like, no, I was going to try and bargain or whatever. I owe her for this magic sword and scabbard that I have.
Yeah. She helped me defend my right to be king of England and abuse the poor.
Yeah, exactly.
I must repay.
Thank you, madam. As punishment for decapitating the Lady of the Lake, Arthur banishes Balin from court. He actually has like a very interesting series of misadventures involving like his own cursed sword, the Lance of Longinus, which was like the lance that had stabbed Jesus in the ribs, and also like had a battle with the King of Ireland at some point. But like Balin is his own kind of like medieval legend. It's kind of like part of Arthurian myth, right? But it's very much a meanwhile the King of England or the King of Ireland, basically. Like, it's a side story. Arthur does not actually suffer, seemingly, at least in what did I say his name was, Tim Mallory, in Thomas Mallory, rather, in this story. He doesn't have any repercussions for like not paying back his debt. Like, Sir Balin just kills the Lady of the Lake, and that's kind of the end of it. He's like, well, that takes care of that.
Like, he doesn't even kill him back. He's just like, dude, okay, don't hang out at my house anymore, all right? Like, go on. Like, doesn't banish him from the kingdom, just banishes him from the court? Like, just like, yeah,
well,
dude.
He banishes him, like, yeah, and then he goes on a series of adventures. Like, I didn't look too much into Balin himself, because again, it's a side story. But yeah,
he was going to kill him, and then God, the most executive producer, was like, no, we're going to make a spinoff series with him. You can't kill him. So
precisely, yeah.
The most executive producer. Has he ever been called that? I'm not sure.
He has now.
Yeah.
So there's no repercussions for not paying off his debt for Excalibur. However, in Mallory's version, it actually has the same ending. Arthur still gets into a fight with Mordred and is taken to Avalon at this time. But this, like, to live out the rest of his days wounded on Avalon. He's taken there by his sister Morgan and another lake spirit named Nimue, or Nimu, N-I-M-U-E, who is another name that one of the many ladies of the lake has.
Nimue.
That's okay. Yeah. So now we're getting Finding Nemo lore, too, in here.
Yeah. Yes.
Or that could be, the... Mad Madam Nim, was it?
She was Mim, M-I-M.
Oh, Mim, not Nim.
Yeah. Yeah. Not Nim, yeah. The Secret of Nim is an animated film about mice, so maybe that.
Maybe she's a mouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I only watched The Secret of Nymphs. That was good.
That would conclude, however, the basics on King Arthur and like kind of the most popular stuff, where it came from, and like all the kind of like most... I don't know, the people that we can confirm added extra things to the story. So that would be that. Nice. I have been your host, Peter O'Donohue. You can find me at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram, or hanging out on the Discord again, loreboys.com/about. Find the link, or the link is in your podcast app right now in the description of this episode. Thank you for listening.
Thanks so much. If you guys want to get in touch with us, like Pete says, Discord's the best way to do it. If you guys want to send us some cash, Patreon's the best way to do it. Patreon.com/theloreboys. We have a couple different tiers there set up with a couple different reward schemes. We're always looking for ways to improve it as well. If you guys have any ideas, feel free to send them our way. No guarantee we'll do them. But time permitting, we do want to kind of flesh it out a little bit better for everyone involved. That said, a little bit of housekeeping. We did get a request from one of our patrons, Nathan, as he spells it, Wallerowerowerowerowerowerowerowerowerowerowerowerowerowerowerowerowerowerowerowerowerowerowerowerowerowerowitch.
also called Shield again.
Exactly.
Also known as Sketchy Jesus on the Discord. Wanted to say, hey boys, it's that guy with the dumb Polish last name, High Lore Priest Sketchy Jesus, back again with another shout out for you. Really just wanted to thank you guys for the previous shout out. It meant a lot. And I wanted to let you know that I'm currently in the market for a Dungeons and Dragons pinball machine. So any inquiries, please contact me at ratfuck@godickyourself.gov. In all seriousness, though, you guys have helped me get through a real difficult month of my life, mental health wise, and the laughs you guys have brought me have kept me in high spirits. Y'all had me dying listening to your I Have No Mouth and Must Scream episode, and my new favorite quote from you guys is, yeah, so the gay monkey man with the 12-inch steak and cheese was not going to fucking fly, and I do not remember that at all.
I do remember that.
I remember steak and cheese. Like I remember that bit. I don't remember who the gay monkey man from I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream is. But anyway, you guys are great. Please keep doing what you guys are doing and stay awesome. Love, Nathan.
I looked up a Dungeons and Dragons pinball machine, and you can get one for $2,500, which in the vintage pinball machine market, not so bad.
Seems some low. Of them
10K yeah. plus, yeah. So yeah. You might have gotten a good one there.
Wrap it up, yeah. Thanks for the shout out. Sorry it's a month and change late, maybe two, whenever this episode actually drops. But yeah, if you guys want to send us a message to read on air, it's one of our Patreon rewards, so feel free to check out our Patreon and the rewards you can get there for supporting the show financially.
Yeah, I made some changes recently, so if you are already a patron, please review what you've paid for and harass us for it, basically.
Yeah. Guys, I got a good idea. We should do a Twitch stream of like a game that we really like, just as like is torture, like maybe like League of Legends, because like after a while you just get so tired of it. And anytime someone donates, you have to add like another hour on the clock, so they can just keep us playing League of Legends for like a week straight. And it would suck, but we'd make money. So, and then we can put it back into the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyways, come at me for more capitalist ideas later. I got
yeah, we're spitballing ideas there. We're spitballing ideas over at Lore Boys Prime, of course, as always. And we are, as many of the patrons already know, the Lore Boys Prime patrons, I should say, not the Patreon patrons, but the Lore Boys Prime patrons should already know. We are creating, well, so we were going to create a round table. And we were going to be knighting some Prime members who fit the criteria of what we need. Obviously, I'm going to be the cute knight at the round table. I'll probably also wear the hat of the funny knight, I think, is fair to say. But there was a little bit of tension between us. You know, I kind of view myself as an Arthur figure, but Pete kind of views himself as an Arthur figure, and Jamie kind of viewed himself as an Arthur figure. So I think what we've decided on is to do like a three circle Venn diagram table, essentially. So there's going to be overlap. If one category matches both of the Lore Boys tables, you can sit at both at the same time, or even all three, if all three of us agree on one category. I know I need a blank, insert your name here, the rat tamer. I need somebody to work on taming rats, basically, sewer pipe piper, essentially. Pied Piper-esque figure at my round table.
Sounds good. I'm sorry. Peter got up, and I know I shouldn't say anything, but I love the way that he used his hands to run.
Yeah, he was fast running.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to Peter.
Maybe he's still running.
Somebody must have knocked on his door, right?
No,
I
think he's running to get to the table that we're both sitting at now. He's coming.
If you guys want to apply to join our Knights of the Round Table, make sure to hit us up with your knightly name and what you bring to the round Venn diagram table. And I think that would constitute two more boys out of three.
Goodbye. My favorite Scatman John fact is that he died in 1999.
What?
Yep.
Scatman's dead?
He's dead.
Oh my god. I didn't know.
I barely knew him.
My name's Peter. I'm going to pour one out for the Crothers.
My name's Ethan. Scatman's dead. Scatman's dead. The Scatman's dead.
He skibbity bopped his last bot up.
Did you know he actually had a stutter too? And he was like celebrated in the stuttering community.
Yes, we talked about this like 2 days ago.
I know, but come on, guys. We're doing a show. We got to pretend.
Yeah.
Oh, all
fake
yes.
Magic.
Yeah, that's true. It's like, no, we never talk outside of work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.